Daniel in chapter number 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said, thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words at which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful now for the privilege of being in the house of God again this day. I thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've been able to sing tonight. The songs of praise and revival and the songs of promise that we have, Lord, when it comes time for these bodies to lay down and give up the ghost. And I thank you tonight, Lord, for the privilege that we have to preach the gospel. I pray that you'll help me tonight with power and liberty, and God, you'll give me clear thinking. And Lord, you'll take thy word tonight and penetrate our hearts with it. May Jesus tonight be magnified, and may these scriptures be revealed to our hearts in sincerity and in truth. And help us, Lord, to hide this word in our heart that we might not sin against God. I pray that you'll bless and give liberty. I pray that you'll speak to every heart and the condition of that heart well known unto God. I pray you'll work there and work things out for thy glory and honor. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to look for a little while tonight, really, at verses 9, 10, and 11. And I'm drawing a thought from verse number 9, where the Bible said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Now, I begin to think about the message sometime last week, really, that I'm preaching to you tonight. And I, then as I continued to kind of meditate on it and think about it, I decided to break it up into three different messages. And so I want to preach tonight and probably again Sunday morning and maybe next Tuesday night as well on the thought, then came. Then came. You know, things are going to come about. And things are going to change and happen in our life. I'll never forget years ago, Dr. Harold Sightler preached a message in Greenville. And he preached on the thought, and it came to pass. And things are going to come to pass. And I see three things in these scriptures and the following scriptures that I want to try to take and preach on. Then came. And tonight, I'm going to be dealing with the thought of then came the judgment. Then came the judgment. You know, we read in the scriptures that where the Bible says that then came the morning, and we rejoice over that great truth. But there's also coming a day of judgment. And for most people, the word judgment always seems to be a negative thought. But you know, for you and I, for those of us that know the Lord, we can be very optimistic about the judgment of God. Especially the judgment that I'm going to be preaching on tonight. For it is and only until then that judgment comes. After that, though, comes morning, and comes the blessings of God upon the hearts and the lives of God's people. It will be when the great God of heaven puts down all world rule, that His Son will sit magnificently upon the throne of glory, and will rule and reign in the affairs of men. Now, I want to say to you tonight on the authority of the Bible, as sure as we're living tonight, the judgment of God will come. He will separate the tares from the wheat. And He will, my friend, separate the sheep from the goats. He'll set the sheep on His right hand, but He will set the goats on His left hand. And there is coming a great judgment day upon this earth. Now, when chapter 7 begins, and I want to give you a little background if I can before I get into the message. But when chapter 7 begins, it begins the second division of the book of Daniel. The second half of the book consists of a series of visions, all of them given to Daniel, and all of them interpreted by Daniel. I won't say that is one reason I don't believe in visions today. But there's a lot of people having visions, and they can tell you about that vision, but they have no significant interpretation to give you about that vision. May I say that every vision that a prophet had in the Bible had a spiritual application to it. It had a spiritual lesson behind it. And it had a future prophetic fulfillment that would come about. Now, I'm glad tonight that I serve a God that it has the power, church, to tell us what's going to happen out in the future and then bring it to pass. Thank God He is an omnipotent, omniscient God that knows all things and has the power to bring all things to pass upon this earth. Now, these visions contain prophecies covering the period of the times of Gentiles, a Gentile world power, and then the great tribulation period. The vision of these four great beasts are four kings who come up out of the sea, which is the masses of the multitudes of people. We need to try to interpret rightly the Bible and understand the symbols that we find in the Word of God. When the Bible speaks there about these four great beasts that came up out of a great sea, Daniel is simply saying that they're coming up out of the masses of the people. I know people that's read the book of the Revelation, and it talks about the beasts that come up out of the sea, and they get all bent out of shape and worried that some monster from the dark lagoon will once again come up out of the sea and be an ugly, some kind of a monster in that way. But oh no, these four beasts are four men who shall come up out of the multitudes of the people and shall reign upon this earth as Gentiles. Amen. Now you stay right with me for just a little while. And they correspond to the four metals of the image in Daniel chapter number 2. And they represent the kingdoms of Babylon, of Medo-Persia, of Greece, and of Rome. But the vision of chapter 2 and chapter 7 depict the world under human government. Now stay with me and don't leave me. They depict the rule of the world under human government. However, chapter 2 looks at it from a human standpoint. It's there that Nebuchadnezzar views the world Gentile powers as gold and silver and brass and all that, and looks at it from a human standpoint. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. When we come to chapter number 7, the Lord's view looks at world rulers and the Gentile powers in a much, much different way. In fact, He sees them as brutal, as terrible, as selfish, as power-hungry, and they will eventually destroy themselves. That's why He looks at them as they are four beasts. Now, I want to say something right there. You hang with me. We better not get too carried away about our president. I thank God for the president that we have. But I want to say this, my friend, that all human government somewhere down the line will fail. Now, I'm going to tell you why it will. It's because they all have a human heart, and they all have a human nature, and they all have human temptations and human lusts. And I'd say about 99.99% of them are out after power, they're out after prestige, and they're out after world reputation, and I'm afraid that also includes the president that we have. Now, I'm going to tell you, people don't really understand it today, but world governments are terrible, and they are beastly, and it is because they're controlled and they're ruled by the prince of the power of the air. Now, you can just mark that down in your little book. Now, I want to add something here by way in my introduction. The Bible said there that the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And this is in verse number 2. Those four winds striving upon the great sea represent the satanic power that is striving upon the multitudes, or with the multitudes of people today, or is literally striving today in our human government. Has it ever occurred to you that Satan is the prince of the power of the air? Has it ever occurred to you today, friend, that he is working in every governmental structure that's in the world? Has it ever occurred to you that the reason men are warmongers and because they're money grubbers and because they're looking for world power is because they are backed by the devil? Now, I want to tell you something. Their ultimate goal is to destroy the people of God. Did you know that someone wrote a letter just recently and demanded that our country turn against Israel and destroy a God's chosen people? I'm telling you, friend, that is another satanic attack through a governmental program to destroy the people of God in this world. Amen. And these four winds driving upon the great sea in verses 2 represent the confusion and the conflict in human government which are brought about by satanic forces. Now, I want to say there's not going to be any peace until the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus, comes to establish that peace upon the earth. But notice in verse 9, the Bible said Daniel beheld until the thrones were set, or the thrones were cast down, and the throne of the Ancient of Days is set. At that time, we see the fulfillment of Revelation 11:15, where the Bible said, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. Somebody say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's coming a judgment day, my friend, in this world when God Almighty will cast down the thrones of human leaders and humanistic governments and humanistic philosophies, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and the kingdoms of His Christ. Oh, it'll be a glorious day, my friend, when the tyrants like Hussein, that's right, and when the tyrants like Arafat, and when the tyrant nations like communist China, and the tyrant nations like Russia are cast down from their throne of power, and the great God of heaven sits upon His throne to rule and reign in the affairs of men. I'm telling you, it'll be a terrible, terrible day when God Almighty sits in judgment on a great white throne and begins to judge the people and the nations of this world. You better believe it will. They had their day, but judgment's coming. Are you listening? I want to say that judgment is coming. Can you see that in your Bible? All these four beasts represent kings, and those kings represent kingdoms. Coming right on down to that fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire, and its revised empire in the last days of 10 kings, which that little horn shall spring up in the midst of those 10 horns, representing none other than the Antichrist himself. I'm talking about the man of sin. I'm talking about the man of perdition. I'm talking about the man that has worked all these years. I'm talking about he that has labored in high places all these years, about spiritual wickedness in high places, my friend, doing his best to conquer and to condemn the people of Almighty God. Now, stay with me now. Help me out, somebody. Y'all, I'm trying to preach to you. But I see the sovereign judgment of Almighty God. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and its wheels as burning fire. A fiery flame stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. I want you to notice something else by way of introduction. That in this verse, in verse number 10, there are two separate groups of people here mentioned, or two separate groups present. There are those who minister to him, and there are those who stand before him. I want to say to you, my friend, that the latter of those who stand before Him are standing there awaiting the great judgment of Almighty God. I'm telling you, what we're seeing here in the book of Daniel is just a preview in the book that we see in the book of Revelation. You remember some time ago I said you'd never understand Daniel without understanding Revelation. And you'll never understand the Revelation without understanding the book of Daniel. I marvel at the grace of God that all these years prior to the coming of our Lord, that through the prophet Daniel, that He could tell mankind that judgment day is coming. It's no wonder God said that man ought to flee from the wrath to come. I'm telling you, there's coming a day when the heavens and the earth will flee from Him that sits upon the throne. There is a judgment day coming, my friend, when all humanism shall be put down and the great God of heaven will sit as the sovereign of this universe and will judge men according to their deeds. Judgment's coming, friend. Judgment is coming to this world. Then came judgment. Oh, I tell you, we're having a heyday now in the world. But judgment's going to show up one of these days. The sovereign God of the universe will sit on the throne. Old John said, and I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And I saw, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm going to dwell there as long as I can and get a picture set. I'm telling you that there is coming a judgment day. And brother, every lost man, every lost woman will stand before the judgment bar of God. Have you ever stood in a human court? Have you ever stood as a judge pulled his wire-rimmed glasses down over his nose and looked out over that judgment bar at you and realized that he had the power that he could either pardon you or he could pass sentence? I want to say to you, my friend, that this judgment bar, you can forget the pardon. He's not there to pardon anybody. He's there to pass sentence. The Bible said that all whose names were not found written in the Lamb's book of life were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second judgment. There's coming a day when pardon will be a thing of the past, and my friend, hell will be the portion of every Christ rejecter. Amen. I know that's right. Now stay with me. I see the sovereign judgment of God as He sets to judge. All of the rulers of the world have been put down, humbled, and they stand at that judgment bar at the very mercy of Almighty God. That's right. Now I want you to notice some things about this sovereign judgment of God, and I'll not be long. You're not going to let me be long. Somebody ain't going to let me be long. I want you to notice, first of all, God's eternality. As we look at the sovereign judgment of God, look at God's eternality. Amen. The Bible said there in verse number 9, and the Ancient of Days did set. That term, Ancient of Days, simply establishes the eternality of Almighty God. You know, God's been around a long time, friend. Huh? He's been around a long time. He was here a long time before this earth ever came about. Amen. Now, I don't care what the evolutionists say. It's been here about 6,000 years. But long before that 6,000 years ago, the great Ancient of Days was yonder on a throne up there in glory. Somebody said, where did he come from? Didn't come anywhere. There wasn't no place for him to come from. He just always has been, always shall be. He's the first and the last. He's the Almighty God, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, my friend, always has been and always shall be Almighty God. The Ancient of Days. Can you imagine the great Creator establishing a judgment seat? Can you imagine He that is the Ancient of Days establishing His judgment seat? Psalm 93 and verse number 2. The Bible said, Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. The Bible said, And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I want to say this Ancient of Days, my friend, has been around a long time. And his eternality gives him the right and the authority to judge mankind. Amen. I want to say because of His eternality, He is acquainted with man's ways. Has it ever occurred to you that God knows all there is to know about the ways of man? I search the heart, He said, and I try the reins. And that He does. And He knows all the ways of man. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 139 and verse 3, He said, Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. I've got news for you, friend. God was already here when you came on the scene. And He's acquainted with all of your ways. God knows more about you than you know more about yourself. In fact, God knew about you before you ever got here. And there's nothing that can be hid from the all-seeing eye of God. For His eyes are like the judgment seat. They're like a burning fire, my friend, that is able to penetrate the deepest recesses of man's soul. And God knows our ways. He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows what is in man. You know, in the ministry of our Lord, the Bible said about Jesus that He knew who it was that would betray Him, for He knows what is in man. I'll tell you, we better get a hold of that tonight. Whether lost or saved, friend, God knows all about, He's acquainted with every way that you have. Good ways and bad ways. Everything about you. He was here when you got here. He's watched you from your infancy. God's watched you grow up in this world. Your conduct. He knows your character. Oh yes, He knows your heart. He knows whether your heart is in falsehood or truth. He knows whether your Christian life is real or if it's filled up with hypocrisy. Now I'm telling you, at the white throne, when the Ancient of Days sits at the judgment bar, friend, there will be no camouflage. There will be no sham. There will be no hiding. When the Ancient of Days sits on that throne that is full of fire, my friend, and that fire begins to try every man and woman out of the books that are open, mark or death, there's not one thing that is going to escape the mind of Almighty God. His eternality. His eternality. He's acquainted with all of man's ways. I want to say because of His eternality, He's aware of man's whereabouts. Psalm 139 and verse 8 said, If I ascend into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there also. I'm going to tell you something. God knows where you're at all times. Somebody said today, I read an article in the paper about those two boys that escaped from the jail here in Madisonville. And I read in the paper today where they had showed up down in Conway, South Carolina, abducted a woman. And somebody said on CNN tonight that they said they had found one of them and the other in hot pursuit got away from them. But they said that one boy tried to hide from them in a river, a body of water, or something of this effect, until he got cold and had to come out. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. They found him. They tracked him down. And the reason they did He left a trail behind him for them to follow. And that's right. And they know those boys' whereabouts. I'm here to tell you, friend, if two boys cannot run and hide from human government or from the law of this land, don't you ever think that as a human being you'll ever run and hide from the all-seeing eye of God. He knows where you are. Amen. He knows their whereabouts. And he's acquainted with man's ways and he's acquainted with man's whereabouts. That little old boy down there trying to hide in that river. God have mercy. That's kind of like man trying to hide from God. God said, if you ascend up into heaven, I'm there. And if you go down to hell, I'm there also.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen to God. I want to say thirdly, because of His eternality, He's atoned for our sins. I want to thank Him for that. There's no reason, hey, He was judged for us, and therefore that when that judgment is refused, it leaves man under the condemnation of Almighty God. The Bible said in Romans 5:11, and not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I want to say secondly, Ancient of Days signifies God's eternality. But notice, secondly, the Bible said, whose garment was white as snow, signifying the purity of God. That garment signifies the purity of Almighty God. In other words, His judgment will be according to righteousness. And His judgment will be right. The Bible said in Romans chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? His judgment will be righteous. I've heard people say, and I've heard this all my life, I don't believe a holy God, a loving God, would send a man to hell. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. God, it'll be righteous.
Right.
Will not the judge of all the earth do right? He'll do right.
Amen.
And by the way, He done right when He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And He judged it with fire and with brimstone out of heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, His judgment will be right.
Amen.
I'm going to say thirdly, the wisdom of God. His judgment will be in wisdom. The Bible said in the hair of His head was like pure wool, representing the wisdom of God. He misses nothing.
Amen.
He misses absolutely nothing. His judgment will be revealing. Romans 2:16 said, in that day, when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. Now I want you to stop. I want to show you something here. And I'm trying to preach now, and I'm telling you, we're having a real difficult time. And I won't say this, we was doing real fine until I started to preach. And the bottom dropped. I had somebody tell me the other day, preacher, I started to teach Sunday school, and I broke out in a cold sweat. It was just like all hell come over me. Did me tonight too. I'm talking about a cold sweat, ladies and gentlemen. But we're going to preach anyway. Can I say this to you tonight, that the problem that we're having ain't maybe the problem we're having? We might get by with it for a while here. But we got a great God of judgment that is going to judge the very secrets of men someday. And I understand, I tried to look up that word secret and try to get something out of it. And it means that which we've covered, that which we've concealed. It literally means that which we have refused to confess. Now I want to say to you, Dave, my friend, that there's coming a judgment when everything that man has refused to get on his knees and confess before God will be revealed. It'll be made known. Our Lord said in Matthew 10:26, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be made known. Just like old Achan thought he was getting by with something when he found that Babylonian garment and that wedge of gold and run out yonder to his house and buried that thing right in the very center of his house in the earth. But I'm going to tell you, God uncovered that sin of rebellion. And you mark her down, friend. You might get by with some things like you may get by with some sin now. But there's coming a day when God will judge the secrets of men. And everything that's hid, God's going to pull the blanket off of it. I'd hate to think that I'd stand before God as a religious hypocrite and let God pull the blanket off of me. Whew. I might as well just hammer down on that for a little while. Huh? Oh, we do good at covering up the church. But I'm going to tell you, hey, I'm going to tell you something. You can't cover it up deep enough down at your house. Somebody down at the house knows where the problem's at. Somebody knows where it's hid. And they come a day when God will root it out. I'm not so sure God's not rooting it out here right now. I believe He's trying to. I believe the Holy Ghost is trying to. Come on now. Hadn't our sins grieved God long enough? Hadn't our rebellion dried up the church long enough? Hadn't our personal little arrogance and bitterness hindered and held back the blessings of God long enough? I'm going to tell you something, friend. Hey, God gave men a space to repent. God gave Jezebel a space to repent. God gives men and God gives women an opportunity to confess and get right with God. But I'm telling you, friend, if they don't confess and get right with God, there will come a day and woe be unto that person. I'll just be honest. If it was me, I'd rather do it there than face the embarrassment of God pulling the cover off of me in the church house now and revealing it again at the great white throne judgment too.
Yes, sir.
He's going to do it.
That's right. Amen.
There's nothing hid that shall not be uncovered. God is that wise.
Amen.
And I don't know why God lets things go on like He does, but He has.
Right.
I think it's for mercy. I think it's for mercy. But my spirit, He said, shall not always strive with man. The Bible said all offenses must come. But woe be unto that man by whom they come by. I'm going to tell you, I'm being honest with you, it's high time somebody in here got right with God. Now, and I'm not trying to be ugly and unkind, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just stating an absolute fact. This time somebody got right with God. God knows Brother Hall's heart, and I love you. But I'm telling you, when you've had something on your heart for a week and you've prayed over it for a week and come to church on a Tuesday night and can't hardly get a grunt out, it's time somebody done business with God. Come on in the house now. Those secrets of men will be judged. Because the Ancient of Days will set and reveal it. I want to say, fourthly, notice His method of judgment. The Bible says that it's by fire. His throne, it says, was like a fiery flame. And it said, and His wheels are as burning fire. And it said, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before Him. I don't know. I tried to study these out and tried to understand them the best I know how, and I didn't get this out of no book. But I'm going to try to give you something that God gave me in my heart. Notice it said His throne was like a fiery flame. The very throne of God. Fire is God's method. It will be fire at the judgment seat that tries the hearts of men. It was fire that fell from heaven that judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
And so it stands to reason that the judgment of God here of the Ancient of Days will come out from a throne that is like a fiery flame consuming those in whom it judges.
Amen.
Now I want to say this now. Just bear with me. I'm trying to get out what I can to help whoever wants help, anybody wants it.
Right.
But that throne being like a fiery flame, I think that it symbolizes the finality of God's judgment. The finality of it. The fire represents God's judgment. But it being in the throne of God represents the finality of that judgment. Who are we going to appeal to? Nobody to appeal to, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody said today that the fellow that took that little girl's life in Muhlenberg County, carved her up and threw her in the lake, raped her and threw her in the lake, that they had made an appeal and asked for a stay of execution on grounds of insanity. I'm going to say something, my friend. He might appeal, and he might win an appeal. For there are courts, no doubt, higher than the court that rendered him guilty. But I'm here to tell you, when a man or a woman stands before God's judgment bar, there's no higher court that a man can go to. Oh, somebody said, I'll appeal to the advocate. Too late.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's too late to appeal to the advocate. And that verdict, God said, is final. Can you imagine the awesomeness of standing before the Ancient of Days, whose garment is white like snow and his hair is as white as wool, realizing there's nobody else to appeal to, and the books are open and the book of life is open and the search is made through the book of life, and he says, no name! And here's the works that we have done, and I judge you according to these works. And like death and hell, you shall be cast in to a lake of fire.
Amen.
And one might say, but Lord, I appeal to a higher court. And the Lord looks about and says, there are none. And there are none, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
There's no appeals at the white throne judgment of God. Then comes the judgment. We've lived our life. We're living our life. Now, it's like the preacher trying to preach Sunday night. And we're writing our book. But let us write our book, but come at a day when judgment comes.
Yes,
that book is a life of rebellion. A life of wickedness.
Yes,
it'll be written down.
Yes, sir.
He said, in his wheels as burning fire. That word wheels literally means like a whirlwind. And where that judgment means the final, or that throne means the finality of judgment, I believe those wheels mean the fury of God's judgment. Oh my. I'm telling you, my friend, the fury of hell cannot be compared to. They moan and groan and went on until they got hanging outlawed as a method of death. And then they got the electric chair outlawed because they're gross, you know, they're cruel and they're inhumane. Now they want something like lethal injection that's got a little more humanity to it. I'm going to tell you, they know nothing about the furious judgment of Almighty God. When God looks through those eyes of fire and sentences passed, and there's no more appeals left for fallen humanity. And God's wrath, are you listening? I said it's a type of God's wrath on sin. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I'm a sinner. Yes, but you have maintained your sin by rejecting Him. Therefore, you become an object of the furious, fiery judgment of Almighty God. I want to say this. He said, and there was a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Force of God's judgment. There's nothing that can prevent it. Absolutely nothing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, the Bible said, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Yeah, then came judgment. It's coming. And I wish I'd have been able to find the liberty to preach it to you tonight. But judgment's coming. There's coming a day when all human rule and authority will be put down. And judgment will come. Let's stand together.